The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you today on a Tuesday with some horrific breaking news from California, where we have just learned that Tiger Woods has been involved in a single car crash. And this is a statement just released by the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. At approximately 12 a.m. L.A. time, that would be 10:12 Eastern, a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates and Rancho Palos Verdes. The vehicle was traveling northbound on Hawthorne Boulevard at Black Horse Road, where it crashed. The vehicle sustained major damage. The driver and sole occupant was identified as Eldrick Tiger Woods. Mr. Woods was extricated from the wreck from the jaws of life. That is a technique used by L.A. County firefighters and paramedics, transported to a local hospital. His agent has just released a statement saying that Tiger is in surgery right now with a moderate to critical leg injury. So certainly, whatever we were thinking about today, we are now thinking about Tiger Woods with our most heartfelt prayers and thoughts. And it is just an amazing situation. He was on CBS on Sunday, speaking at the Riviera tournament, where he is the host, talking about whether or not he would be back in time for Augusta, which is the second weekend in April, and now this. It is just a horrific story, not all that far from where 14 months ago, 13 months ago, excuse me, Kobe Bryant crashed, and another unforgettable day in Los Angeles. So we will watch this story very closely throughout the afternoon, obviously let you know whenever we know anything, and we certainly appreciate your patience on that. But that is what we know right now. So he has suffered multiple leg injuries and currently in surgery. But the video of the crash is just heartbreaking. Anyway, we will move on to talk about the rest of the sports day, and there are other things, of course, going on, and we will get to them right now. So let's update you on some news from Auburn, where the four-star linebacker Dylan Brooks has committed after being granted a full release from his letter of intent from Tennessee. That was announced today. It was expected. This news has been out there for a couple of days. So Brian Harsin picks up a major commitment after National Signing Day. Meanwhile, of course, we are in the final 2 weeks of the basketball season, and Bama is looking like an SEC powerhouse. They won the football championship, and they are going to win the SEC in basketball. And what about the tournament? This is how good they look right now. Seventh in possessions, D1, the Division I ranking, defensive efficiency, they're in the top four. Offensive efficiency, 23rd overall, and third in 3 points. So how will the SEC season end? Well, not too hard to figure out who's going to win, but there is a logjam after that between LSU, Arkansas, primarily for the next spot, Florida with a big game later, Tennessee struggling right now, Missouri, all of those expected to make the tournament. And what about Kentucky? They are back to 500 in SEC ball, in contention now. Ole Miss suffering a nasty loss against Mississippi State over the weekend. Everyone else just trying to end the season in a position on a good note so they can get a better seeding for the SEC tournament. Mike DeWine, who joined us during the early days of the pandemic, said 30% capacity for sporting events could start in April. He's the governor of Ohio, in case you forgot. And you are seeing this almost everywhere. New York restaurants, movie theaters opening to 25 to 30%. It feels like while the pandemic is about to celebrate its 1 year, not celebrate, but mark its 1 year anniversary. Things are at least slowly, and I mean slowly, moving back at least to a sense of normalcy. Meanwhile, what do we have in store for you today other than as many updates as we can share with you on Tiger John Wilner on what is happening with the Pac-12 search for a commissioner? It includes an SEC athletic director. Ross Bjork has spent time in the Pac-12 at UCLA. I don't know if he's in contention or not. We'll ask him, but it looks like somebody else is. David Ubben from Tennessee, from The Athletic, covers Tennessee. Fishback on tonight's college basketball. And Leonard George and Willie Jackson, two pioneers, the first two men of color to break the barrier at Florida. We talked to them last week, and we had a communication issue, and we will do it again later today with absolute confidence that we will get it right. Anyway, as I mentioned, we are certainly following the Tiger Woods story very, very closely. And we shared with you the absolute latest update. And as new updates come in, we will let you know what they are. The phone number here is 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. Let's get right to the calls and start with Pat, who is in Georgia. Pat, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you about Georgia and their, you know, they'll lose the first game and then lose the SEC championship game. And I guess that's kind of where we are right now. And that's not too shabby, but we're not beating Clemson and we're certainly not beating Alabama. I'm compelled to talk about Tiger Woods. I've been playing golf since I was eight, and I have a great deal of respect for Tiger, and I'm so sorry that he's in this situation. The only issue I've ever had with Tiger is a lot of times I wanted to know what the rest of the field was doing, and the only information I got listening to radio or watching TV is what Tiger was doing. But I've always said he needed longevity in order to be able to surpass Jack Nicklaus. And because that is why Jack
Nicklaus. Yeah, Pat, with all due respect, I'm not really sure this is the time or the place to be analyzing whether Tiger or Jack is the best golfer of all time. But I do appreciate your thoughts. Let's talk to Wendy in Ohio. Hey, Wendy, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing fine. Thank you, Wendy.
I just wanted to send out prayers to Tiger and his family and his kids, and it's just awful. And I didn't realize how close to where Kobe's crash was, you know, and 3 more days, it'd be 13 months, you know,
right,
of Kobe's accident.
You're absolutely right. And you know, I mean, again, it was not exactly in the same place, but certainly in the same area.
No, well, and then within 3 days, it'd be the 26th of February, it'd be 13 months. But, hey, did you know that, was it Hank Aaron, you know, he rooted for the Cleveland Browns?
I didn't know that,
you
Wendy.
Know, the baseball player that recently passed away?
Sure.
He rooted for the Browns?
I never knew that. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Johnny is up next as we continue here on a Tuesday afternoon. Hey, Johnny. Johnny, you there? Tell you what, why don't we regroup here? I think we all need it. And we'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We appreciate your phone calls, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We appreciate you being here. This is the latest on Tiger Woods, a story updated with his longtime agent, Mark Steinberg. Tiger Woods was in a single car accident this morning in California where he suffered multiple leg injuries. He is currently in surgery, and we thank you for your privacy and support. Again, the information is still somewhat limited. You know, this is a relatively new story. It didn't break until about 25 minutes ago. So, you know, you're literally depending on what you get from the EMTs at the scene. Nobody has even gotten into the hospital yet other than Tiger. in terms of the media. Certainly, this is the story of the day, and let's hope it does not carry over and that he gets through it. But you know, we are not talking about a minor figure here. We are talking about one of the seminal figures in sports history, with Tiger Woods. You know, he burst upon the scene as a young kid, you know, appearing on national television for the first time, I think at the age of 4 or 5, on the Mike Douglas Show. He became one of the most celebrated, if not the most celebrated, junior golfers of all time. He ultimately went to Stanford, where, you know, he was just sensational. He won very quickly on the PGA Tour, and his breakthrough win, and, you know, one of the most celebrated wins of all time, occurred in April of 1997, when he shattered the field at Augusta National. I'm trying to remember whether it was either 12 or 15 shots. It was just one of the biggest runaways in course history, in Masters history. But it was also you know, one of the most important moments in sports history when you consider you know, who he was, you know, his background, his color, and the history of golf in general, let alone that particular tournament. So it was a tournament victory that I'll never forget. I was covering it as a reporter, and, you know, the people that started showing up late into that weekend was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. By the way, you just don't show up at Augusta National. You know, celebrities from every walk of life, particularly those connected to Nike. I'll never forget standing in the Augusta National clubhouse, and as you walk in, there's the men's grill. The champions, the former champions, have a room upstairs where they eat and their lockers are. And I told a friend of mine, as everyone was gawking at Tiger by now. He already had a, you know, double-digit lead going into Sunday. I kind of looked at my friend. I said, that'll be the last time he's eating in the men's grill. And of course, you know, his career, you know, has rivaled only one other golfer, Jack Nicklaus. That debate, of course, has always been out there. And then Tiger has also had to deal with so many other issues. In, you know, 2000, I think it was 2008 or 9, you know, it came out, you know, some extremely troubling things about him, and then he had that crash after an argument, you know, with his wife, and then, you know, in and out of rehabs, and then his back, and then all of a sudden, 2 years ago, he stunned the world once again by winning the Masters. So again, we're just giving you the latest as we see it. Multiple leg injuries. He's currently in surgery in Los Angeles, and that...
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That is all we know. Let's hope and pray for the best. Back to the phone calls at 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285 is our number. We mentioned that we will be talking to a number of people, including John Wilner, a couple of minutes about the Pac-12 commissioner search. Let's get to Jeremy, who is up next in Georgia. Jeremy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
Hey, my Gators got a must-win game tonight versus Auburn, but I want to speak about the NCAA not allowing high schoolers to visit schools. You're asking them to take a life, make a life decision, but you're not able to visit. I think there should be some type of way that you can visit. They should come up with some kind of rule.
Now, are you referring to right now? Is that what you're talking about?
As far as like football players, recruits are taking official visits. You know, they don't push the dead period back again, but you're asking them to make a life-changing decision without visiting the school.
I agree with you, Jeremy, but there's just not a whole lot you can do right now until we get through this.
There's an indoor practice facility that you could maybe host 10 players.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I don't make the rules. And those who do, and we're talking to Ross Bjork later. He has been very unhappy about the current rules, and we will certainly get his opinion on that. Back to the calls at 855-242-7285. More updates on Tiger as we work our way through the afternoon. And William is up next in Arkansas. Hey, William.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
First of all, thoughts to Tiger and his family. This kind of makes the Masters 2 years ago even more special to us fans and everybody else. But second, the reason I called is to talk about Alabama basketball. Very proud of Alabama coming around, but let's don't get too far ahead of ourselves because Wednesday night, I can't guarantee it since 20,000 screaming fans are not going to be there, but I think Wednesday night they're in trouble. But anyhow, it's so good to see Alabama back on the rise. I remember the 89 teams with Ori, Sprewell, Robertson, Arkansas had Mayday, Oliver Miller, plus some great basketball. And it's so good to see us rising up in basketball because we own football. SEC owns football.
Yeah, you know, William, it's interesting. I remember those games of the early 90s between Alabama and Arkansas, and there were some one in particular.
Right there in Birmingham, Alabama, too. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, and there was a SEC tournament semifinal, I think, between Alabama and Arkansas. Can't remember what year it was, 92, 93, somewhere in there. I mean, it was an epic. Epic game in Birmingham, and that was quite the rivalry. I remember Alabama beating, with not even a very good team, they beat Arkansas when Arkansas was number one in the country. I was at the game, it was a Saturday afternoon, and it was David Hobbs was coaching. It was pretty big upset, but
sure was. We lost two games that year. Mississippi State tripped us up, and you guys beat us 66-64, I remember.
Was that the year year Arkansas won it all?
We won it all that year.
Okay.
We got beat by Kentucky in the SEC Championship, which was another great game.
Right.
And it's on classics all time, but we ended up winning the championship that year beating Duke. But it's just so good to see the SEC on the rise. I think we're going to dominate college basketball in the next 5 or 10 years, too. I mean, we got so many good coaches now. And I'm so happy to have Eric Musselman there.
No, I agree with you. We love Coach.
Hey, thank the Franks.
Well, William, you call again, and it was a pleasure to talk to you a little bit more from the Tiger. And I mean, we'll be doing this all day, unfortunately. But law enforcement sources are telling the LA Times now that Tiger was traveling at a high rate of speed and lost control of the vehicle. The car apparently rolled over several times. Again, this is early in the investigation. You're going to hear a lot of different reports, but that is the latest. James is up next in New York. James, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Mr. Feinbaum, my name is James Casey from New York City. I just wanted to say to you that you are fabulous. I appreciate you being on the air, and I love you, man. Thank you.
James, thank you. It's great to hear from a New Yorker, and my whole family's from New York, so it's pretty special to me. Thank goodness I was born in Memphis. But thanks for the call anyway. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll also go out to the Bay and talk to one of our favorite guests in just a minute about what is happening with the Pac-12 and some other issues. We'll be
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, we welcome you back. And this is the latest. Justin Thomas appearing at a press conference today, and a very close friend of Tiger Woods. You may remember Justin told us about playing with Tiger and hanging out with him during COVID many, many months ago. He broke down upon hearing the news, saying, I'm sick to my stomach. I just hope he's all right. And the latest from L.A. is this, that Tiger is currently undergoing surgery. Officials are indicating that the horrific injury is not life-threatening, but very serious injuries to his legs. Now, remember, he was just coming back from another bout with his back. So I think you can figure that out. The most important thing right now is his health and well-being. I think his golf career can wait. Let's get back to the show. And always good to talk to John Wilner, who is such an important voice on the Pac-12. And I do have so much to ask you about, John, but as someone who covers sports in an area that is very noted for golf, I think we're all interested in what your reaction and just the reaction of everyone right now, just trying to deal with the vagaries of life today while this is going on literally on a split screen.
Yeah, it's crazy. Certainly the thing that comes to mind most is, he's a parent, right? That's the bottom line. He's a parent. And so you just hope that he's okay and he's going to be able to be a functioning parent for his kids for the rest of his life. Beyond that, like you said, the golf can wait. It has been one, the last, say, 13 months since Kobe Bryant's helicopter crash. It has been a tough stretch, obviously, for everyone with COVID, but the sports world's been hit left and right with injuries, illness, death. It's been just awful.
Yeah, and John, we're talking, and you mentioned Kobe Bryant. He was a global figure, even though he played basketball primarily here. Tiger Woods has played all over the world, as Kobe did, of course, and there's not a place in any country on any continent that either Kobe or Tiger could walk down the street and not be mobbed. This is not just a normal PGA. I was looking at one of the networks a minute ago and said PGA Tour professional Tiger Woods. I'm like going that's not exactly what we're talking about here.
No, you're right. I mean, for so many decades, right, the global athlete was Ali. But now, just the nature of society these days and communication, social media, there's far more global athletes. And certainly, Tiger and Kobe were at or, very near the top on that list.
Talking to John Wilner from the Mercury News. John, you've done a lot of work since we talked to you last after Larry Scott was gently shown the door. In relation to what is next in the most troubled conference of the Power Five, it's been like that for some time and doesn't seem like it's gotten much better. What's the latest on the search for his replacement?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it's in the early stages. The good news for the conference is that they hired a very quality search firm, right? They hired Turnkey, which just handled the ACC commissioner search. And I think that there's the Pac-12 wants to move pretty quickly, have somebody in place by June. These things take time, so I think that they felt like the work that Turnkey did with the ACC search, even if the jobs aren't exactly the same and the candidate pool isn't going to be a complete mirror, you know, the work they did will help them kind of get a running start on this. And so Turnkey right now, you know, they're just talking to people in the conference to try to figure out exactly what the Pac-12 wants to be and what it needs. And then I would suspect sometime we get into March here, they'll start reaching out to potential candidates. And it'll be interesting to see what the Pac-12 prioritizes, right? I mean, if this is the, you know, any of the other Power Five conferences, and it would be a no-brainer, football is got to be prioritized. But out here, you never know.
John, the last time you were here, you mentioned Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama. He has strong ties to that area. His dad was an athletic director, I think, in Oregon. He went to Arizona State. He was the athletic director at Arizona. Where does he or does he fit into the picture?
Well, and he worked at both Oregon and Oregon State.
Right.
So he's been on four of the 12 campuses. When I look at Byrne, I don't know that there's anybody who is outside of the current Pac-12 family who knows the conference better than Greg Byrne, right? Because, you know, his a lifetime, really, of experience in the Pac-12. Obviously, he knows a little bit about major college football. So, you know, if those are their priorities, someone who understands Pac-12 campus, the challenges on the front lines, right? What the athletic directors and the coaches and the student athletes are facing every day, and somebody who understands major college football, you have to think he would be a strong candidate, right? I mean, football, you know, when you look out 5 or 10 years, Paul, major college football is going to be a lot different, right? The transfers, the Alston case in front of the Supreme Court, obviously name, image, likeness, the media rights, the expansion of the playoff, all these things are coming. And the Pac-12, given where it is, has got to have somebody who understands all that and can navigate the conference through it so that it's in a position of strength at the other end.
John, we saw in the ACC, they went for a very qualified AD. And, you know, we've seen other paths in other conferences. I bring up Bob Bowlesby. He's the commissioner of the Big 12. We all know that. But he's also been an athletic director at Stanford, another man who has ties to that conference. Do you think he'll factor in?
He should. I mean, he should be one of their first calls. The thing about Bowlesby is I don't know. You know, he's in his late 60s, and I have no idea if Bob is interested in leaving the Big 12, moving back out west, you know, or the heavy lift. I mean, the Pac-12 is not an easy fix, and it's not a quick fix. And I don't know, given where Bob is at this stage in his life, I have no idea what his interest level would be. If there is any interest, the Pac-12 would be smart to reach out. I mean, he is a sitting Power Five commissioner whose conference is better run than the Pac-12's. And he knows football from a 40,000-foot view, and he's got experience out west and on a Pac-12 campus. So, you know, he does make a lot of sense. It's just more of an interest level on his part.
And finally, John, not to go down the entire list, I know you've knocked on a few doors here in putting your stories together, but, you know, guessing now, of course, who else would be a major contender for this position?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, kind of like with Byrne and Bowlesby, the conference should at least make a phone call to Gene Smith and see where his head's at, right? Gene's a little bit like Bowlesby in terms of being in his 60s, and I don't know if he's interested in moving back out here or starting over with a new heavy lift. But he was an athletic director at Arizona State before he moved to Columbus. Obviously, he knows everybody, knows what big-time football is, so he certainly fits those criteria. I'm kind of assuming that understanding football and understanding campus life in the Pac-12 are going to be important to the Pac-12 presidents, but I don't know that for sure. If those are not priorities, then I think they're gonna find themselves in some trouble. But those would be two. I think that they may also, you know, try to look at Andrea Williams as someone who's on my list, current COO of the College Football Playoff, who spent, you know, almost 20 years working for Jim Delaney at the Big Ten. So obviously she knows what a conference, the way a conference is supposed to be run. Delaney's a, you know, legendary commissioner. She's been a commissioner at the Big Sky. So I, you know, she's kind of my sleeper candidate in some regards, but they've got to prioritize football. There's no question about it.
John, I know you've asked this question and while you put together a very thoughtful and substantive list, does it really matter? Can this conference be saved?
I mean, that is a great question. I think it can. I don't think it's beyond salvageable at this point. But I also think that if they hire someone who doesn't know what they're doing and doesn't have a vision for getting the conference to the other side of these next tumultuous few years, then they may be beyond the point of any return, right? They could end up being, you know, I think I wrote something about, you know, something more than the group of five, but less than the power five, you know, and an island unto itself and a time zone unto itself. There's a real risk of them falling behind the other four and not being able to catch up. I don't think they've gotten to that point, but they've got to have somebody who can figure out strategy for these next 6 or 8 years and put the conference in a position of strength when it's all over. You know, regardless of what size the playoff is, regardless of how name, image, likeness ultimately unfolds, someone that puts them in a position of strength, you know, at the end of this decade so that they're not going to permanently fall behind.
John, thank you. John Wilner from the Mercury News. Always great to talk to you, John. We'll talk soon. Be well.
Thanks a ton, Paul.
The best, the absolute best for information and insight into that league in college football. We will take a break. We'll have another update on Tiger Woods' condition when we come back. We'll also go back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here on a very busy Tuesday afternoon, and we're getting more updates from Los Angeles, where we learned about an hour ago that Tiger Woods was involved in a very serious one-car crash in Los Angeles. So this is a shot from above of the car. Apparently, it rolled over several times. We have just received a statement from the L.A. Sheriff's Department. Lieutenant Michael White has told the local affiliate out there, KCBS, that Tiger Woods' injury are non-life threatening. So that is certainly good news. He is currently, according to officials, in surgery. He encountered serious leg injuries. Nobody knows any more than that, and there's no way you could know while someone is in surgery. But the fact that the Sheriff's Department is willing to say they are non-life threatening is in a day of horrific news from Los Angeles, the first signs of positivity. And, you know, beyond that, we don't know, but that's certainly the most important thing. Tiger Woods, of course, was last seen at Riviera Country Club on Sunday, where he is the host of the Genesis Tournament, where he hands out the award. It's one of the most prestigious clubs in the country. And he told CBS that he wasn't sure on Sunday whether he would be able to play in the Masters because of a back injury or surgery to his back. I think we probably sadly know the answer to that now. Let's get back to the calls. And Charles is in North Carolina. Hello, Charles.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I was thinking about 1997. I went with a friend, an older friend of mine, to the Masters. And it was her tickets, but she couldn't drive over there by herself. I lived in Macon then. So I drove her. And we got there, and she told me I could run wherever I went on the course. She liked to get one place and stay there a while. But then she also told me she didn't like Tiger. And, of course, all it went back to that Tiger was challenging Jack.
Right.
And so we spent the whole day avoiding Tiger. And I stayed with her. I wasn't, you know, while I wanted to see Tiger, I, I respected my being with her and helping take care of her. Of course, 2 or 3 years later, she was regretful about that, but because by that time she had become a Tiger fan. She also remembered that 20 years earlier she had hated Jack because he was.
Oh, sure. He challenged Arnold Palmer, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that was good there was I got tickets from this lady several years, and I had some tickets from other family members. I took my wife, and this was her favorite tournament, to 86. We were there when Jack won his last tournament at the Masters. And so we had a good spell there, I guess.
Yeah, Charles, I would say 86 to 97 are two of the most famous wins ever. And I was not at Jack's. I was at Tiger's. And mm-hmm. If I live to be 150, I'll never forget that Sunday in Augusta. It was an awakening for so many people, and it was just there were so many storylines beyond sports that I'll never forget either. But thank you for sharing that story, and you take care of yourself. Peter is up next in Georgia, and you're on with us. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener and first-time caller.
Thank you.
You got a call yesterday from Sharon from Georgia who phoned, and she was too modest to identify who she really is, and she is Mrs. Bill Stanfill number one.
Really?
Of UGA and Miami Dolphins fame.
Sure.
She called to tell you about a book I wrote about Louis Grizzard.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm thankful, Tiger, that we have encouraging news,
right?
Because this very frivolous call would otherwise, not be appropriate. But Sharon roomed with Bill Stanfill while he roomed with the recently departed Jake Scott.
Right.
While they were dating. And Sharon is 6 feet tall and was an all-state Georgia high school basketball star herself. She's recovering from a knee replacement. We spent Sunday together. And if I can tell you a classic Jake Scott story that I think any fan of football will appreciate. The three of them, Sharon and Stanfill and Jake Scott, were at the Athens breakfast table where Jake Scott and Bill Stanfill lived, and Jake Scott looks at Bill and he says, "Bill, let's go to Atlanta and get us some women." And Bill Stanfill dryly replied, "Well, Jake, you might notice that my stunning girlfriend is sitting right here and can hear what you just said." To which Jake replied, "That's okay. We can drop Sharon off at her sorority house on our way to Atlanta."
So, hey, do me a favor. Unfortunately, we are going to get cut off here by the computer, and we have to go to a guest in a minute. Can we reconvene here at your convenience? I would like to talk to you about Louis Grizzard, and I'm fascinated by your project. Thank you very much, and I apologize for having to run here. We are coming back with much, much more.